from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we have updates from week four of the 101st legislative session at the state's Capitol building in Pierre, South Dakota. Today, following Senate approval, Governor Larry Rodin has a decision to make on what some lawmakers are dubbing fake meat. Lawmakers kill a debated abortion bill. A House committee approves giving healthcare providers the right to refuse to perform services based on their conscience, and more. It's Thursday, February 5th. Here are today's stories. The governor has the chance to put his mark on whether cell-cultivated protein, also called fake meat by some lawmakers, should be considered adulterated in South Dakota. That's because lawmakers have passed a bill on the issue, putting it on his desk. House Bill 1077 labels cultivated protein food products to be an adulterated food in the state. In South Dakota, adulterated foods can't be put on shelves. Lawmakers have stamped their position, placing the proteins in the same category as foods with poisonous ingredients, consisting of a portion of an animal unfit for food, and containing a portion of a diseased animal. Some legislators maintain while they wouldn't personally buy the product, it shouldn't be deemed adulterated if it's approved by the FDA. Senator Jamie Smith votes no on the bill in the Senate. He says he thinks the decision should be rooted in science.
So we're making statements about something that are inherently conjecture. We're thinking that that might be what this is, but we don't know, and so there's fear.
Smith says it should be up to the individual.
If you look at me, you know I eat plenty of steak. I like steak, and I like it from a real cow. But I also have half my wife's family, they're vegetarian. And you know what? They get to be themselves too. But there might be some of them that want to get their protein source from a different way. And I'm going to stand in their way and say, you can't make that choice for yourself. I don't think that's fair to them.
Opponents are also concerned the state could face a lawsuit if the bill becomes law. However, many want to see the food considered adulterated for a variety of reasons. Senator Lauren Nelson is the Senate sponsor. She says one reason is safety.
It's our job as the legislature to make sure when we see something that has the potential to hurt the people of our state, we need to step up and do something.
And she also says it threatens the state's ag industry.
We do know the target of their campaign to expand cell-cultured meat. My fellow senators, this is not about consumer choice. This is not about feeding people. This is about directly challenging and ultimately replacing our livestock producers. That makes this a direct threat to the economic engine of our state.
After passing through both the House and Senate, Governor Larry Rodin has the chance to either veto or sign HB 1077 into law. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks. House Bill 1212, which would have allowed for the prosecution of people who seek abortion care, fails in the House Health and Human Services Committee. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
Rapid City Republican Representative Tony Randolph says the state's near-total abortion ban simply doesn't go far enough.
This bill would protect every preborn child from abortion in South Dakota by giving them constitutional protections from homicide and assault that they deserve. Equal protection under the law.
That's a bridge too far for even some of the state's most ardent pro-lifers. Lobbyist Dale Bartscher represents South Dakota Right to Life and pled with the committee not to take this road.
To this end, we have continually approached this mission with compassion. Just as we have opposed the injustice of abortion itself, we have also consistently opposed policies that would criminally punish women. For more than 50 years, we in the broader pro-life community have been clear and consistent in both our moral convictions and our strategic approach as we support her. Love them.
Others still find these proposals to be grossly out of step with what South Dakota parents need. Sioux Falls Democrat Erin Healy, the House Minority Leader, does not believe this bill is pro-family. Instead, she says proposals in this vein miss the point in a state that already has some of the strictest abortion laws in the nation.
These proposals do nothing to expand health care, affordable child care, paid leave, or economic supports for our parents. And for children who need to thrive. Instead, this legislation advances extreme definitions of life beginning at fertilization, and proposals like that put IVF and surrogacy at risk.
Healy adds this type of policy could run the risk of potentially criminalizing a miscarriage as well. The bill was rejected on a vote of 9-4. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
Lawmakers are advancing a bill that grants healthcare providers the ability to refuse to perform services based on, quote, conscience. The House Health and Human Services Committee supported the bill despite opposition from healthcare systems and lobbyists in the industry. House Bill 1153 provides protections for healthcare providers against discrimination, for protected speech, and the right to refuse any medical service that goes against their conscience. Representative Leslie Heineman is the bill's prime sponsor.
Well, you may think, this doesn't happen in South Dakota. Well, I'm here to tell you that it does, and it is happening as we speak.
Heineman continues.
Why is this Med Act required or needed? It protects diversity of belief within the medical profession and benefits patients by protecting the supply of physicians and other medical providers within the healthcare system.
While complaints and lawsuits have been brought on this basis around the country, nobody in testimony provided evidence of complaints in South Dakota. Many who spoke in favor of 1153 say it would allow providers to refuse performing abortions, which are already banned in the state, and transgender surgeries. They also made mentions of vaccines, pointing to the COVID-19 pandemic. Representative Taylor Rehfeldt opposed the bill, and she pushed back on supporter claims.
No one is forcing providers to do things like those extreme examples that go against their beliefs.
She went on, arguing the bill is focused on the wrong people.
What this bill does do is gives permission for providers, people who have gone into a profession where their number one priority should be patients, not themselves. I didn't go into healthcare to think about myself. And if you go into healthcare and you're going to assume that you can just not care for a patient because of this or that, you shouldn't have gone into healthcare.
Rehfeldt expressed concern the bill's broad language could apply to politics and create complications for patients. The bill will receive a hearing on the House floor following committee approval 8-5. A committee advances a bill rescheduling a drug proponents say could be life-saving for individuals who struggle with mental health and post-traumatic stress disorders. The bill reschedules the pharmaceutical composition of crystalline polymorph psilocybin. The Federal Food and Drug Administration is studying some formations of the drug in clinical trials to treat mental health and PTSD. HB 1099 is a trigger bill that would take effect on the contingency of FDA approval. Representative Taylor Rehfeldt is the bill's prime sponsor. She explains the need to avoid a lag time if FDA approval comes when the state legislature is not in session.
You know, these are patients that have refractive depression that really can't be treated by anything else. And so they're patients that are really at their last resort. And for me, that means it could potentially be life-saving. And that's why this bill is very important to make sure that it's timely, is that it really could save a life if we're unfortunately having the approval between January and March of 1 year until January and March of the next year. It's a long time that somebody may not be able to get that treatment that could save their life.
The House Health and Human Services Committee unanimously approved sending the bill to the House floor. A Senate committee killed a bill that would have allowed hunters to use drones to recover some mortally wounded game. Senate Bill 201 gave authority to hunters to engage a pilot to use the drones to locate and recover deer or elk on two conditions. A hunter believes the deer or elk was mortally wounded during a lawful hunt, and two, the hunter reasonably believes the animal can't be located by common tracking methods. Game, Fish, and Parks would create further rules for drone usage. The Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee killed the bill following opponent testimony that the legislation could conflict with federal law.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Health officials are warning about another round of potential measles exposures in South Dakota. The Department of Health says an adult Grant County resident visited several places in Milbank and Brookings while infected with the measles. On the evening of Friday, January 30th, they visited the VFW Bar and Sly's Steakhouse in Milbank. The next day, the individual went to a wrestling tournament at Brookings High School and a hockey game at Larson Ice Center in Brookings. That evening, they went to the Pints and Quartz restaurant and bar. Health officials are asking anyone who might have been at those locations at those times to monitor for symptoms for 21 days after exposure. This comes weeks after the Department of Health warned of a measles exposure risk at a Milbank elementary school. Sometimes the struggles of real life collide with sports, creating real meaningful impact on an athlete. That's the case for one young man in South Dakota.
This is your Morning in Play. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks here with SDPB sports content producer Nate Weck. How you doing, Nate?
Doing well, Jackson. How about you?
I'm doing good. So tell me a little bit about what you've been working on and some of the stories you got.
Yeah, so last week I had the opportunity to take a trip up to Willow Lake, South Dakota, just to be there for a practice with the Clark Willow Lake Cyclones. And really the purpose of the trip was to sit down and have a formal conversation with one of the seniors on this year's squad, a young man by the name of Levi Atkins. Now, Levi is, you know, obviously a senior, you know, it's, you know, so he's kind of going through all of the, like, oh man, I, you know, this is the last, like, you know, we're in the spring semester now, you know, going through all of that and having, you know, his senior year with the basketball team. But it's his journey on reflecting through this is a little bit different than some, because it was after his sophomore season, or after a sophomore school year, excuse me, he was diagnosed with leukemia. So, you know, think of the summer in between your sophomore and junior year, going, finding out that you have cancer, and so his junior year, you know, you want to talk about, you know, how normal a lot of our, you know, a lot of us had our high school careers and stuff like that, our high school experiences. His whole, basically his whole junior year of high school, he was in the hospital going through treatments and stuff like this for his leukemia. So, you know, he ended up getting out of the hospital in March of last year, early March, had to go in for some more tests as well, right before, you know, during, it was like the Friday or whatever, during the boys state basketball tournament, Class A, Clark Willow Lake was at the Class A tournament, and that was being hosted in Sioux Falls. He basically went in for a test on the Friday of the state tournament, and his doctor said, yeah, if you want to go support your team on Saturday, you can go do that. So last year it was really cool at the state tournament on that Saturday. You know, Levi, well, didn't just show up at like the hotel where the team was staying and say hi. He was warming up on the court before the seventh, eighth place game that Clark Willow Lake was playing in. So he got a chance to be on the bench and stuff like that for the final game of last season. And now, you know, he's really been having a much more positive experience here his senior year, because he currently is in remission. You know, there are still regular tests and stuff like that that come with it and things like that. But yeah, his cancer is in remission. And now he's experiencing his senior year of high school with a much different smile and a bit of a stronger perspective, I think, on it. You know, he played football as well. He's a kicker, so he got a chance to kick some field goals and stuff this year for the Clark Willow Lake football team, which I thought was awesome. And then, yeah, now he's has the opportunity as well here to be on the Clark Willow Lake basketball team for his senior run as well. So it's one of those stories that really had some grim moments, but has now sort of evolved into a happy spot for one of our senior high schoolers in the state of South Dakota.
No, yeah, that's some scary stuff. Obviously, happy to hear everything's going well. I guess, what did Levi share with you? Maybe some of the good things that he sort of got from this experience. I mean, that's a pretty emotional thing to go through.
He said he didn't know how mentally strong he was until he, or what his potential with his mental strength was until he kind of went through this. But he also, especially during some of the early stages of chemo, was just like really struggling with it, and just not even so much like what chemo was doing to his body, but just not being able to see his classmate, trying to keep up with schoolwork on his, you know, on his computer, or, you know, from the hospital room and stuff like that, just to try to keep some sort of a grasp on, you know, the world outside of the hospital, right? But then he says, you know, I get to like my fifth round of chemo and I'm like, let's go, let's bring it on, that kind of thing. So he kind of went through this mental transformation when he was going through it. And he said too that it's given him such a different perspective on life, you know, as a senior now. And he believes that he is much stronger in a lot of facets of his life because of what he did have to go through.
You can catch SDPB's story about Levi Atkins as part of Tales from the Hardwood later this month. That episode airs Thursday, February 26th at 8 p.m. Central on SDPB1 TV.